Well, welcome to one of our favorite segments here on the JCLP. You might notice that I am not Banny, nor am I Becky, but I'm filling in for them on the book club today, and I have my good friend Ben Daly with me today on the phone.
What's up, Dean? Good to be with you.
Hey, Ben, it's good to have you on the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and your church?
Yes, sir. I serve as the lead pastor of Calvary Church. It's a multi-site church in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And I have been married to my best friend and ministry partner, Kim. Can't believe almost 23 years. I've got two children, Kyla and Cade. Kyla just finished her first year of college, and Cade is about to be a freshman in high school. So that's my family.
That's awesome, man. Now, you wrote recently, you've written two books, Collision or Collide, and also your newest book, Limitless. I've had the opportunity to actually talk about your journey before you actually wrote Limitless. Tell us a little bit about the book, some of the background to that.
Well, in September of 2012, I released my first book nationwide called Collide, When Your Desires Meet God's Heart. And I had no idea that 3 months after the release, in December of 2012, that I was going to have one of the greatest collisions of my life. And that collision was really when my innate desire to impress God with my goodness collided with his desire to impress me with his. And this is really a book that I never planned to write. I didn't even know I needed to hear. I'd been a Christian for decades. By any normal standards, I think I was a deeply committed follower of Jesus, but I tell you, I was seriously misguided. In many ways, I think I can identify with the blind man who, after Jesus touched him, responded, you know, I see people, they look like trees walking around. He saw, but he didn't see. And it took another touch from Jesus so that he could, you know, see everything clearly. And when I began to realize what I'd been missing, I think I could have said, you know, I once was blind, but now I squint. the astonishing kindness of God, I tell you, I see more clearly now. And this book is really about God's touch in my life, and his touch enabled me to see Jesus. And that's really what Limitless is about. It's about the limitless love and grace of God, because I spent my life, man, striving in my own efforts rather than thriving in God's grace. And it was really a revelation of the grace of God that changed everything for me.
Ben, I was super impressed as I was reading just from the very beginning of the book. I have never read a book that was written so honestly. I would just call it raw, man. I mean, you just put yourself out there. Can you just describe a little bit about that moment where you were just at your wit's end, which ultimately became the catalyst for you writing this book? Can you just tell us about that moment? Because for me, it was, I just appreciated the honesty of that and the transparency of that in the book.
Well, I tell you, for many years, man, I was focused on all I needed to do for God. I mean, I spent years, you know, working hard, doing my very best, pouring out my life to serve him, all good things, but it became a grinding duty without any beauty. And I tell you, I can't pinpoint the moment or really the season that it happened, but the Christian life became more about performance and my accomplishments for God than about his limitless love for me. And I tell you, when I lost the focus on God's grace, I lost my joy, I lost my strength, I lost my delight, I lost my security. I became obsessed with trying to prove, you know, myself, my worth, and comparing myself. And I'm telling you, man, I came to the end, because that performance driven religion, man, will kill you. It'll suck the life out of you. And really, that's what brought me to the place again at the end of 2012, man. I came to the end and really wrote my resignation. I was done. I can't do this anymore. I can't build this church. I'm not what I want to be. I don't even think I'm the father I want to be, the husband I want to be. And I really just came to the end. And what was so wonderful is when I finally came to the end, it was really the beginning. Because when I finally let go of everything, it's like God said, wonderful. Now I can do what I do best, and that's live my life in and through you. And you can live the limitless life. And that's really what happened. I came to the end.
That's so good. You know, so many people are just stuck in this performance-driven lifestyle, I would say. But what would you say specifically to leaders that are stuck in performance-driven religion?
Man, I'd say, are you tired yet? Are you worn out yet? Are you burned out yet? You know, if not, just hold on, because you will be. It's the nature of religion to focus on what we do instead of what God's done. You know, to focus on our performance instead of what God's already performed. And so religious people like to think that when they perform in a certain way, then God reacts to them. But the truth is that God doesn't react to man to cause anything. I mean, to cause our salvation or anything else. You know, sometimes I think we think he's sitting there on his throne, just really wringing his hands, hoping with all his might that, you know, we'll be so kind as, you know, to make the first move. And that's the kind of religious foolishness that I believe, that I lived under, that I taught for a whole lot of years. And, you know, we didn't start the ball rolling. And the good news is that he did, and it was always on his mind. And I think to suggest otherwise, it diminishes him and it exalts us. And that's really what I think we've done in the church. We've diminished what God's accomplished. We've exalted ourselves and what we do. Listen, salvation is God's work. And so our response to him is because he initiated the whole thing. We love, the Bible says, because he loved us first.
So good.
So grace means that we're recipients of what he did through Jesus. And I heard someone say, you know, he's the initiator, he's the activator, he's the perpetuator. From start to finish, it's him, the author, the finisher. And we contributed nothing. After all, think about it, Dean, we had nothing to contribute anyway. And John 3:16, you know, think about that. He gave. Think about 1 John 4, you know. He loved, so he sent. I mean, I hope that we start to see this. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about what he's done because of his limitless love. And the gospel has nothing to do with mankind reaching up to God to give him anything. It's about the Godhead reaching down to us, providing salvation we could never have accomplished on our own. So really, to the person that's stuck in performance-driven religion, let me tell you, it's easy to get there. I lived there for 15, 20 years. I would have to scream, stop it. Stop it. There's nothing for you to do except believe the good news and to start saying thank you. That's the greatest statement of faith. Thank you very much. Thank you through faith. The objective reality of what Christ accomplished becomes our subjective reality. So, you know, by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift. It's not a result of your performance. So you didn't perform for this. You simply come to experience it through faith. And I love that God even gives us the not only the grace, but the faith. It's all a gift. So like I said just a moment ago, I think that's what Jesus said in Matthew 11. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Mm-hmm. Are you burned out? He says, come to me, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That's what the message says. So in a performance-driven world, man, grace comes offering rest. It grace is this declaration. It's finished. The work is done. And faith just simply responds with this, happy thank you. Oh. So the gospel isn't an invitation. I think so many times we present it as an invitation. Come on, you gotta pick up tools, you gotta go to work. No, the gospel is an invitation to drop tools. The gospel is not some kind of job advertisement. It's a day of rest. It's Sabbath. It isn't a demand for your peak performance, but rather, man, the gospel is a celebration of Christ's perfect performance. So I would say, man, stop it. And that's a tough place to come to, because you look over and over again at, man, God who allows us, man, to come to the end. He lovingly woos us.
Yeah.
To the end of ourselves, where we just got to go, I don't have anything left.
And this message of limitless, Ben, is so needed in the body of Christ, because never has there been more burnout, never has there been more breakdowns. I mean, people need to tap into this revelation of grace.
Well, I'm telling you, Dean, some of the most hungry and thirsty and tired people that I've ever seen are in the church. You're absolutely right.
So, on the other side of this revelation, just one last question, Ben. What has changed in your ministry, in your approach, your family, just your life? How has this changed you, man?
It has absolutely changed everything. I mean, I can enjoy life, you know, and that's really what Christianity is. It's not a sin management program. It's not another 12-step program. Christianity is Christ. It's the life of Christ. And I think for so long, you know, I lived in you know, the bondage of, you know, thinking I had to live up to something that I could never live up to. And I really tried hard. And Christianity became fun when I realized, wow, I don't have to do this. Christ can do it in and through me. And you know what's really changed for me is, you know, I've heard someone say that the single greatest need in the world today is a revelation of the love of God, a revelation of Jesus. And then he went on to say the single greatest tragedy in the world today is that those who are called to reveal the gospel reveal something other than the gospel.
Wow.
And I know this, Dean, because I used to do it. And as a pastor, I preached in reaction to needs. I preached in reaction to problems. I preached in reaction to current events. But I think what's really changed for me is I don't do that. Now I preach in reaction to Christ alone. He is the answer to all of our needs and problems. So Christianity, again, it's not a program. It is Christ. He is the one who gives meaning to all of life's events. So I used to preach points and patterns and principles. I never brought people to a revelation of the person. I would preach things really that distracted people from grace. I preached things that diminished faith. You know, I used to pursue causes, so it was always, you know, whatever, politics, missions, even church building. Again, not saying these are bad, and right, not saying we shouldn't even invest in them. I'm just saying they're subsidiary to the gospel that we've been called to preach. I'm sorry, man. Jesus trumps everything. He's still good news that the poor needs to hear. He's still sight to the blind. I mean, he is the year of the Lord's favor. So think about Paul. He said, man, I don't have another message. And I kind of feel like, Dean, over the last 36 months I've been on this journey, like Paul said, you know, I preach nothing but Christ crucified. It's like, my God, I've become a one-trick pony. Like, I only have one message. Jesus is still the greatest message. And so now it's about pointing people to Jesus, getting people to lift their eyes off their sin and their hurt and fix it on Jesus, the deliverer, the healer. And I'm telling you, whoever's listening to this, if you're a Bible teacher, teach the Bible to reveal Jesus. If you're a storyteller, it doesn't even matter. Connect with the greatest story of all time. If you're a musician, if you're an artist, man, capture something of the goodness of Jesus. And I'm telling you, it's changed every area of my life. Fathering, being a husband, being a pastor, being a leader, you know, a church planter, being a friend. I mean, the gospel changes everything.
Man, so good and so rich. I want to really encourage our listeners to get a hold of a copy of Limitless. Ben, I want to thank you, first of all, for taking some time. I know you're on vacation, but for taking some time and, you know, sharing with our JCLP audience. How can our listeners get your book? How can they get connected with Ben Daly?
Well, first of all, let me thank you so very much for the invitation. I have been a fan of Jesus Culture from a distance for a long time. So for you guys to reach out to me to pay attention to my new book, really, I'm honored, and I want to say thank you. And how can our listeners get a copy? Man, you can get Limitless anywhere. You can go online. You can go to brick and mortar stores. It's called Limitless, The Life You Were Meant to Live. You can go to my website, bendaly.com. You can even download it to your phone or your iPad or whatever. And I would really encourage you to do it. As a matter of fact, I've had churches buy boxes of them, because if you don't know, there are questions that small groups can walk through after every chapter. There's just a great opportunity. Our whole church just finished going through 9 weeks of small groups with it. But it's great for leaders. It's great for moms. It's great for businessmen. It's great for dads. Limitless is the message. It's the greatest message, and it's the message the world needs.